Greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Never been a part of a game seven. So this is when you're a young kid and you're kind of trying to play through all the heroes and the heroics and talking about a game seven in the World Series. And here we are. I know that we're happy to be at home. And tonight was very energetic, exciting. I know we love being in front of our fans. And I know we'll be ready to win a baseball game.
That's Los Angeles Dodgers manager Dave Roberts looking forward to the decisive Game 7 later Wednesday evening in baseball's World Series. Facing a must-win situation Tuesday night in Los Angeles, the Dodgers defeated the Houston Astros 3-1 to even the championship series at three games each. George Springer put the Astros in front in the third inning of Game 6 with a solo homer off Dodgers left-handed pitcher Rich Hill. It was Springer's fourth home run of the World Series, but the Dodgers took the lead against Houston right-handed pitcher Justin Verlander in the sixth inning, getting runs on Chris Taylor's RBI double and Corey Seager's sacrifice fly. And they added their third run in the seventh inning when Jock Peterson hit a homer off Astros relief pitcher Joe Musgrove. So now it comes down to one more game at Dodger Stadium to determine the 2017 Major League Baseball champion. Coach Roberts, is it fitting there will be a Game 7 in this World Series?
Yeah, I think it seems fitting. You've got the two best teams in baseball going head-to-head. Like we talked about from the beginning, these two teams mirror one another. And the compete and the fight in both teams is the most important thing that I see is similarities. But again, we worked all year long to have home field advantage, and here we are. So it's only fitting for this series, yeah.
Thanks, Coach. Meanwhile, Dave Roberts' coaching counterpart for the Houston Astros is A.J. Hinch.
This series has been back and forth and two incredible teams trying to get to the finish line. And now, obviously, it's good for our sport. We will come as positive as ever, ready to play. It is what looks to be one of the most exhilarating games that we're ever going to be a part of. I mean, who can guarantee that you're going to be in Game 7 of the World Series ever again? So come ready to play. You have your best attitude, your best opportunity.
Houston Astros manager A.J. Hinch talking about Wednesday evening's decisive Game 7 in baseball's World Series. While the Astros and the Dodgers are in the World Series spotlight this evening in Los Angeles, it's the New York Yankees who take the prize as the most famous Major League Baseball team and one of the most successful sports clubs in the world. The Yankees have won a record 27 World Series titles, and they lost to the Astros 4-3 in this season's American League Championship Series. For those living in the bustling South Bronx neighborhood where Yankee Stadium stands, the Yanks are ultra-local legends as well. VOA's Adam Phillips talked to a few diehard fans who take the team's motto, Pride, Power, Pinstripes, very personally.
The busy street below the 161st Street elevated subway station is 18 kilometers and a world away from the glittering skyscrapers of downtown Manhattan. But that's where you find Yankee Stadium. That's ground zero for local pride for neighborhood residents like Janita Horton, a lifelong Yankees fan.
But, like, it's like my team because I'm from New York in this neighborhood right down the block. So it's like, how can you not represent, you know, like where you're from? Because it's been a part of me in my mind, my soul, everything. I actually told my sister the other day that I was going to get a tattoo of the New York Yankees logo, the NY, because I lived here my whole life and I've always seen this. So I think, like, it needs to stick with me, like, forever.
As a child, Horton lived within sight of the fabled old Yankee Stadium, built in 1923. She now lives close to the new, larger Yankee Stadium, which dates from 2009.
I can even hear it from my house sometimes.
What's it sound like? That's what it sounds like from your window?
Yes, and it's the crowd. As you hear the people screaming, like, all at once. Sometimes, even in the old stadium, I can see the games because I lived on the top floor. So sometimes I can even see, like, inside, like, a couple of people looks like little ants with clothes on, if you could see. My mom used to, like, get binoculars sometimes. But, you know, it was just, like, the whole experience of something monumental being next to, you know, like, where you live at. It makes you feel good inside. It feels like you belong somewhere or to something, you know, an official stamp.
Today, Laura Shane Cunningham lives in the quiet countryside, but she still feels like she and the Yankees belong together. During her childhood, in the late 1950s and 1960s, she also lived a few minutes' walk from the stadium, which she remembers as soft and golden, yet monumental, like the Roman Colosseum. Growing up there was an experience that Cunningham vividly recounts in Sleeping Arrangements, her popular memoir. Her apartment window faced away from the stadium, so she and her mother could not watch games directly.
But the light from the stadium came right into our room, and we had this, like, insomnia lavender glow when they had night games. It gleamed at night, and it shed this almost UFO-like glow into our apartment.
Cunningham recalls the sounds of those so-called twilight games.
Loudly, loudly, they would wake you if you had ever gone to sleep. Fly ball! Oh, and the applause and the cheering, you know, when something was scored, the building reverberated. And, you know, we would hear the moans of defeat and the depression of losing would come right into the room, too. But fortunately, in those days, it was mostly victorious. And, of course, the whole neighborhood smelled like hot dogs.
But the neighborhood mood would sag a bit during the off-season when the players were away.
They were like demigods. And the day that the Yankees returned for the home season, I can't even tell you how celebratory it was. They actually had a red carpet leading into the Concourse Plaza where the Yankees stayed. And the team would march along, looking, of course, fabulous. And they were great-looking men in those pinstripe, you know, the old-fashioned uniforms, and everyone was so thrilled. The streets were permanently named after players.
Lifelong South Bronxer Stacy Taylor is waiting for a bus directly in front of the stadium entrance. He says it's the mythic prowess of his very own neighborhood team that keeps him hooked.
I mean, the Yankee has a history of having some of the greatest players in the game. DiMaggio, Babe Ruth, Derek Jeter now. You know, Derek Jeter is like one of the most famous baseball players that you can think of really right now because, I mean, he went through a whole era, played his heart out for the game. You know, it wasn't always about the money for him, you know. So when you can sit back and realize that you were a part of that, that's what makes him the most exciting.
They're local?
Yeah, they're local. I mean, they right here. These are people that you can just see walking down the street somewhere, you know. You know, I mean, like somebody that lives in California that might be a Yankee fan, he might not have the opportunity to just walk down the street and Derek Jeter come walking down the block. You know, that's just how it is, being a New Yorker and the New York Yankees.
The New York Yankees have won 40 American League pennants and 27 World Series championships, but they failed to pull off either feat this season. Still, don't look for any defections among the Yankee fans in the South Bronx, because they see themselves as loyal old friends, too. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm VOA's Adam Phillips in New York.
Yeah, I'm out
that Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to De Niro. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's. Took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus. Driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my top. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from.
Tuesday's deadly terrorist attack in Lower Manhattan will not put a stop to Sunday's New York City Marathon. 8 people were killed and 11 others injured after the suspect, 29-year-old Uzbek immigrant Saifulo Saipov, plowed a rented truck through a crowd of bicyclists and pedestrians along West Street. The area is roughly 4 miles from the marathon's nearest point at Columbus Circle. Sunday's race is organized by the New York Roadrunners. In a statement, the organization said, and I quote, "With respect to the victims, their families, and our city agency partners, we will be postponing our ceremonial blue line painting and other media events originally scheduled for Wednesday, November 1st. At this point, all other race activities will continue as planned. An estimated 50,000 runners are expected to test their speed and endurance on Sunday in New York, and officials say heightened security measures will again be implemented. Additional safety procedures were put in place for the 2001 race after the September 11th terrorist attacks. And race officials also put in place additional safety measures in 2013 after the Boston Marathon bombings. Elsewhere, South Africa's Olympic champion and world 400 meters record holder Wade Van Niekerk is expected to be sidelined at least 6 months after injuring his knee in a celebrity rugby match in Cape Town. Van Niekerk, one of the bright young stars in international track and field, was scheduled to undergo surgery this week in the western U.S. state of Colorado. Van Niekerk will miss the 2018 Commonwealth Games. On Twitter, Van Niekerk said, "Thanks for all the kind wishes." He says he'll be off the track for a while, and he plans to come back stronger. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America.
VOA. Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brilafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on sunny side of life.
Voice of America.
I had it for some America, crawling on my way left.
Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining us once again on the show is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Happy November, Andrew.
Happy November to you as well, Sonny. Good to be here with
you. And they're playing World Series Baseball in November.
You know, Sonny, it's only the 12th time in Major League Baseball history that a game will be played in the month of November, that the World Series continues on through October, right into the month of November. Actually started back in 2001 when there was a delay after the September 11th terrorist attack. They pushed the games back, and so that was the first year where November baseball started. And when the stars align and the games go the full five or seven games, depending on the round of playoffs, sometimes that does indeed happen. And in this case, fans are not surprised because they said, as exciting as this series has been, of course it was going to go the full seven games. They had no doubt it was going to be anything but a decisive game seven. And that's what we have tonight in Los Angeles. We'll see who comes out victorious. But by this time tomorrow, we will have on the show a winner of the World Series. And I'm sure we'll be talking about that trend for sure.
Either the Los Angeles Dodgers, I think this would be their seventh World Series title if they win tonight, or the first for the Astros.
Yeah, and first, it would be the first ever for the Astros, but the first since 1988 for the Dodgers. So two teams that have not had World Series success in recent years, two fan bases that are very excited to see their teams go and capture that World Series. But again, we'll have to wait and see.
What else is trending on this Wednesday, Andrew?
Well, a trending story out of Game 6 of the World Series last night. Yuli Gurriel, who made that racist gesture towards Dodgers pitcher Yu Darvish, who's Japanese, was vociferously booed by fans in Los Angeles. In fact, Dodgers pitcher Rich Hill, actually had to step off the mound so the fans could continue booing and not interrupt play. Now, Dodgers fans loved the reaction, but they also loved Rick Hill. Rich Hill, if I can get his name right. Rich Hill, do him justice here. Rich Hill stepping off the mound, and fans loved that. They said it was a great move to really let that sink in for Yuli Gurriel. And then, of course, the Dodgers go on to win the game. So we'll see what happens tonight.
And we have the New York City Marathon coming up on Sunday, Andrew. I know we had that terrible terrorist attack on Tuesday, which has kind of overshadowed the marathon, but I think it's still going to be a great race come Sunday.
I think so. A lot of fans are looking forward to it. A lot of fans are saying that they're going to run this race in memory of those people who were killed, or that they're going to run the race in defiance of the terrorist activity, saying that nothing can stop them. So it really is a nice move that fans are going to be doing that. And runners, as they make their way to New York City and express that they're excited to run this race, there's one runner in particular that a lot of people are talking about, and that is, of course, Meb Keflezighi. He writes on social media that he landed earlier this week in New York City for the final New York City Marathon. He said, "Love this city. It's given me the support to finish strong." And fans are certainly hoping that Meb will finish strong in New York. Of course, he won the marathon back in 2009, the only American to win the New York City Marathon in the past 35 years. Mm. And as he mentioned in that tweet, this is his final marathon, not just final New York Marathon, final marathon before he retires from professional running. Now, it's pretty interesting. The Los Angeles Times had some kind of eerie stats. We're right after Halloween, so just a little bit eerie stuff here. But it said that Los Angeles Times reports that it's Meb's 26th marathon. And as you know, the marathon has 26.2 miles
in it. That's right.
And according to the Los Angeles Times, Meb will be on Sunday when they run the marathon, 42 years old and 184 days old. And the marathon, if you break it into kilometers, is 42.195 kilometers. So almost to the digit, we get Meb being the right age and the right number of marathons. So kind of eerie, but kind of a nice way to wrap things up with that coincidence.
He lines up nicely
it
with the marathon.
It all lines up. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anything else trending in the track and field world, Andrew?
Yeah, well, speaking of marathons, we might not be seeing Meb anymore, but get ready to see a new face on the road soon. Someone who may be new to marathons, but is no stranger to athletics and running, none other than the great champion Mo Farah. Four-time Olympic gold medalist, more European and world championships than I can count. I tried to look through his Wikipedia page, and it was just, I gave up. It was too many. You know, of course, a specialist in the 5,000 and 10,000 meter races, but in a Twitter video released this week, he announced his plans to make some big changes.
Hey guys, I've got big news today. I'm moving back home, London. I really miss home. I see my kids are happy they were in the summer at the World Championship. Yeah, I'm going to be back there. Very exciting. Also, you know, no longer be coached by Alberto Salazar, working with Oregon Project. I want to thank each member of Oregon Project and Alberto for what he's done over the years. Yeah, so I'm coming back, and my new coach is going to be Gary Locke, who coached Paula Radcliffe through her marathon. So very excited to start a new project, new start. I can't wait to be back home, and obviously can't wait to see my team, Arsenal, at the Emirates.
So he's switching where he lives, he's switching his coach, and he's switching what events he'll be running. So a full change there for Mo Farah that he puts out on social media. And a change that fans are really excited about, especially the British fans, Sonny, because they want Mo back home. They're welcoming him back, saying, come on back, we missed you, we want to see you back in the UK. Fans also very excited that he's leaving his old coach Alberto Salazar, who has been someone who's faced doping allegations and other controversies. You talk about bringing this full circle to our previous story. We talked about Meb being the only American to win the New York City Marathon in the past 35 years. The last American to win it back in 1982 was Alberto Salazar. So a little bit of a connection there, but fans looking forward to see what Mo Farah will do once he gets back to the UK.
And Andrew, it sounds like Mo Farah might go to see a few Arsenal matches when he gets home.
Yeah, he got that in at the end. The Arsenal fans are happy. They're saying, okay, with Mo in the stadium, we can't lose. We're going to be great.
Well, we have about a minute left in the program, Andrew. What else is trending?
Well, we talked about Halloween being yesterday and all the trick-or-treaters being out in their costumes looking for candy. And a bit of a trick for the Houston Texans owner, Bob McNair, and a bit of treat for fans. Jadeveon Clowney, he is a linebacker for the Houston Texans, a team that we've been talking about because owner Bob McNair said he didn't want the inmates running the prison, a term that many people found to be racist. And as we talked about, the team knelt to protest that. Well, Clowney decided to send a message to McNair without even saying a word, and that's because he dressed as a prison inmate for Halloween, for the team Halloween party.
Okay.
This was something that got a lot of attention and a lot of love from fans across the internet. The Houston Texans communications department said he wasn't trying to send a message, it was just a Halloween costume, don't read into it. But fans aren't buying that. They think that he was sending a message with this, and one that was pretty funny and got quite a lot of positive attention, saying we don't strike back with words, strike back with actions, and this was a pretty cool one.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny.
And that wraps up the November 1st. Happy November! The November 1st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an international public service announcement by the United States government.
The United States has expanded its offer of rewards for information on key leaders of terrorist organizations to include a leader of one of the groups conducting attacks on government facilities and other targets in northern Nigeria, roiling the nation in sectarian violence. Abu Bakr Shekau is the leader of the group commonly known as Boko Haram, a Nigeria-based extremist organization seeking to overthrow the current government there and replace it with a regime based on a strict interpretation of Islamic law. Links with terrorist groups such as Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab have strengthened Boko Haram's capacity to conduct its attacks. Previously, the group's number two, Shekau, claimed overall command in July 2010, expressing solidarity with Al-Qaeda and threatening the United States. A vehicle bomb attack on the United Nations headquarters in Abuja in August 2011 marked the group's first lethal operation against Western interests, killing at least 23 people and injuring 80 others. In April 2012, the group bombed a Nigerian newspaper office in Abuja and later threatened other local and international news outlets, including The Voice of America. Under his leadership, the group has kidnapped hundreds of children to serve as hostages, bearers, and even fighters, most recently in the northeastern town of Damasak. Shekau is tall, slim, and has a dark complexion. He was born in Yobe, Nigeria, sometime between 1965 and 1975, and is of the Kanuri ethnicity. He speaks Arabic, Hausa, Fulani, and Kanuri. He is known to have used the aliases Abu Bakr Sikwa and Imam Abu Bakr Shiku. The Rewards for Justice program is offering a reward of up to $7 million for information leading to Shekau's location. The U.S. promises that all credible reports will be investigated, and the identity of all informants will be kept confidential. If appropriate, the U.S. is prepared to protect informants by relocating them and their families. If you have information on this man, contact the nearest U.S. embassy or consulate, or submit a tip to www.rewardsforjustice.net. or email information to info@rewardsforjustice.net. You may also call the Rewards for Justice tip line at 1-800-877-3927.
That was an international public service announcement by the United States government.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali. Join me on Straight Talk Africa every Wednesday as we discuss topics of special interest to Africans, including politics, economic development, press freedom, health, social issues, and conflict resolution. Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 1730 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Dante, AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering Africa and the world news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.